Thank you, Linda. Good to see you tonight. See all of you tonight. As you remember, I talked about faith a couple of weeks ago, a few weeks ago about faith. So tonight is kind of continuation of that, and we are bringing the sister of faith trusting. I did not grow up with this language of faith and trust, so it's kind of fuzzy for me which one it starts and which trust comes in. So I'm always looking in different articles or different ways that makes it more easy for me to understand it. And I've got much better, let's say. It's much easier for me to get it now. And when I came across this article, it's kind of a different point of view that I seen that I haven't seen before. And I thought that I shared that with you as well. And then it's a very short article. It's not long at all. And it talks about actually the difference between faith and trust, and then illustrate a true story that it happened on 1800. And through that story, we can see the difference between faith and trust. It's very, very clear. And so I have that, and since I usually like stories because I learn a lot from them and I remember longer. So I have two other short stories about trust as well. So, and before that, something last night I came across, and I think I like to share that before I start any of this one. And it is actually from quote from Mother Teresa, and it's about trust. So I start with that one, and then I go faith versus trust. When John Kavanagh, the noted and famous atheist, went to Calcutta, he was seeking Mother Teresa and more. He went for 3 months to work at the House of the Dying to find out how best he could spend the rest of his life. Then he met Mother Teresa. He asked her to pray for him. "What do you want me to pray for?" she replied. He then uttered the request he had carried thousands of miles. "Clarity. Pray that I have clarity." "No," Mother Teresa answered, "I will not do that." When he asked her why, she said, "Clarity is the last thing you are clinging to and must let go of." When Kavanagh said that, "She always seems to have clarity, the very kind of clarity he was looking for," Mother Teresa laughed and said, "I have never had clarity. What I have always had is trust. So I will pray that you trust God." So to me, that's actually kind of a great point, because me myself always ask a clarity from God. But if I have total trust, then I really don't need to have that clarity. So something to think about. In this one. All right, so we come faith versus trust. And this one is from Institute of Creation and Research. "Truth in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." That's a Proverb 3 verses 5. Many believers today often confuse having faith in God with trusting in God. Faith is a noun. It is something you have or possess, a substance or evidence of things both hoped for and not seen. Faith in God is the confident belief that He is the sovereign creator of all things and that He can and will do what He claims. Trust, on the other hand, is a verb. It is something you do or act upon. Faith always comes first, But trust is never guaranteed. It is a willful choice, a deliberate action, and can only grow out of your faith. This was a great point for me because it is a choice when we have a trust. Faith is out there, but we have to choose to trust that. And that was a good understanding for me. There is a vast difference between faith and trust. And the story of Charles Blondin and Harry Calcourt provides a great illustration. Blondin was the foremost tightrope walker in his time. He gained worldwide fame in 1859 as the first person to cross Niagara Falls. Calcourt was his friend and manager. A cable made entirely of hemp, 1,300 feet long and 2 inches in diameter, was wound around an oak tree on the American side, while the other end was ferried across the Niagara River and secured to a Canadian rock. To limit swing, Calcourt had stabilizing guy ropes affixed at 20-foot interval to anchors on both banks, except for 50 unreachable feet in the center, which sagged and swayed dangerously. Thanks to Calcourt's savvy marketing, tens of thousands of spectators gathered for the spectacle. Gamblers took bets on whether Blondin would fall and die, and vendors hawked everything from lemonade to liquor. Must have been seen in that time. Shortly before 5 p.m. on the June 30th, 1859, Blondin started his slow walk from the American side. Once past the center section, he broke into run. After a brief rest, he started back again, but this time toting a box camera on his back, balancing carefully near the middle. Blondin set up the camera and snapped a picture of crowd. Then he repacked his burden and continued to the rest of the way. The entire round trip took 23 minutes. Once carefully back on American soil, Blondin immediately announced a series of encore performances, each more daring than the last. The press ate it all up. Over several weeks, Blondin walked backward, blindfolded, backflipped, pushed a wheelbarrow, and even cooked an omelet during one of many trips across the road. He had faith he could accomplish these feats, but he also trusted his abilities to complete them. The spectators, on the other hand, only had faith. A different scene in Blondin's daring walk in August 1859. After he had crossed to the Canadian side, the crowd was horrified as Blondin reappeared on the rope with his manager, Harry Calcourt, clinging to his back. A few guy ropes snapped during this transit, but Blondin never wavered and safely made the crossing. It was later reported that Blondin told his manager, "Look up, Harry. You are no longer Calcourt. You are Blondin. Until I clear this place, be a part of me, mind, body, and soul. If I sway, sway with me. Do not attempt to do any balancing yourself." This is the difference between faith and trust. The spectators had faith in Blondin and believed in his abilities, but only Calcourt trusted him enough to climb on his back and allow him to carry him across. Is your trust in God like that? Do you truly trust him to provide and care for you and supply all your needs? Or do you place your trust in your personal resources and efforts, or in other people or things you think you control? These are all good questions that we can ask ourselves and see where we are. But I really like the part that he tells his manager that you are no longer Capricorn, you are part of me. And that I think that's a beautiful way to look at it, that try not to balancing things on our own and cling to God no matter which way we go, just hanging there with God. I think that's the best solution for all of us. And then I have two little short stories to tie this up together. Okay. This story is about trouble in life, trust God, about husband and wife story. A devout Indian couples used to live in England. Husband was running a successful business. But one day, husband suffered a big loss in business, losing all his money from that day onward. His interest, I'm sorry, from that day onward, his interest in eating, drinking, family, and everything ended. He would stay immersed in just worry round the clock. His wife was intelligent and poised. She tried to help her husband to get out of despair by telling him various stories to make him realize that he doesn't need to lose hope, but nothing helped. At last, she thought of a way to get her husband out of the hopelessness. Next day, wife went in front of her husband wearing black clothes. In England, it is custom to wear black clothes on the death of someone. Seeing wife in black clothes, husband asked, "Has anybody died?" Wife replied, "Yes, God is no more." Listening to this, husband was confused and asked, "How is it possible? Why are you saying such a thing?" At this, wife replied, "I think so. From your behavior, you live like God is no more for you. You used to say that whatever happens, happens as God wishes. God nurtures everyone. He takes care of every being. Yet nowadays you live like there is nothing left to live. You stop eating, spending time with family, doing anything. Why are you so sad? Why are you so worried thinking about what will happen to us now? Don't you trust in God?" Hearing this, husband said, "I have full faith in God, but I am worried how we will be able to pay for our living expenses." Wife replied, "You are now 50 years old. You have always worked hard. You say you believe in God, but you don't trust God. In life till now, we have seen many ups and downs. We were able to overcome all troubles till now. This difficult time will also pass." After listening to her husband, realized his mistake and holding his wife's hands, he said, "Sorry for worrying you. I trust God. We will be able to overcome this trouble also by God's grace." From that day onward, husband's behavior changed. Instead of staying alone in despair, he started working hard again with hope that everything will be normal again. If good times doesn't stay forever, then bad times will not be there forever. Times change. Trust in God, which is actually a lot of, I mean, at times I've done that myself. So I know it is a true story. And then the last, it is a story about a mountain climber. And this one is trust God's plan. Once there was a man who used to climb mountains. One day he decided to climb a particular mountain and was so confident in his own ability that he didn't even bother doing research and plan beforehand. On decided day, he packed up his gear and started his upward trek. When he reached halfway up, he stopped and had some food and looked over and thank God for everything he had and for giving him chance to see this beautiful world from this height. Clymer tarried a bit longer than he should have, and soon sun was setting. The sky turned dark and clouds started moving in. Men should have rest and continue going upward next day, but still he continued on his mission. Because of all clouds and heights of mountains, Clymer couldn't see anything and lost his way. In daunted man continued to climb mountains despite of his disorientation and confusion. He thought God will guide and protect him, and with his faith, he kept climbing for hours and not even sure if he was moving up or down or sideways. He continued climbing at night, growing cold, moving near by instinct and what he think to be fate to guide his path. And then, while reaching out over outcropping ledge, he slipped and fell into air. Failing at great speed, he kept falling. In moments of fear, all good and bad episodes of his life started to come to his mind. He was thinking about how close death was getting, when all of a sudden he felt the rope tied to his waist pulled him very hard. He stopped falling and his body hung limp in air. Only rope was holding him, and in that moment of stillness, he had no other choice and a scream, "Help me, God." All of a sudden, a deep voice coming from the sky answered, "What do you want me to do?" Man replied, "Save me." God said, "Do you really think that I can save you?" Man replied, "Of course, I believe." God asked, "Will you do exactly as I tell you?" Man replied, "Of course, I will do whatever you ask me." "Then trust in me and cut the rope tied to your waist. Free yourself and you will be saved," God replied. There was a moment of silence. Rope was only thing which was keeping man from falling. Man began to weep and clutch tighter to rope and felt cold and darkness wrapped itself around him. Voice spoke to him no more. Next morning, rescue team reported that Clymer was found dead and frozen, his hands still clutched to the rope. He was hanging only 3 feet above the ground. The learning, do people really believe in what they say they believe in? Can they really trust the words of their own heart? Trust God with whole heart. Without God, we lack eternal perspective. Our view is dim and our insight is confined by our narrow range of experiences. So truly, it's just the main thing is just trusting God with all of our heart, and I think we would be guided in the right direction at all times. With that, I thank you, and back to you, Linda.